This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulihi al-Ameen. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. Amma ba'd. Jazakumullah khairan for coming to Friday Night Lights. Today's topic is, things I wish I knew before I got married. So just to clarify from this topic, from the title, not every point we bring up means we're regretting. Like if I say a point, doesn't mean that I'm saying, I wish I knew this before I got married. It's things we learn from mashayikh and from life and from books. It's a combination of things, all right? So the title doesn't mean everything we say is from personal experience.
Yeah, don't take it personal. Okay, you listen. No.
All right. Publish.
Okay, so this is supposed to be, this should be like a very light session tonight. Stories, experience of life, things that we have seen. And I want to say something before we start, like our point. Many of you, if it's not all of you, many times you will see one side of people's life. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put you in a position like us as imam, we see different side. We different perspectives. We see things that you don't see. So you might think, oh, this is the best couples I've ever, everything is good, you know? Or you might be going through a bad experience. You think everything is bad, but we see both, okay? So make sure that's why it is so, I can't say enough how important, this might be first point, how important consultation is, to consult, to ask, to take an opinion of someone who have experience in life, you know? And many times I got actually a little bit upset of some members of my community that they get married and they never talk to me about the guy or about the girl. You know, what's the point of having an imam in the masjid? An imam who knows you, you're close to him, families, you know? You never talk to me about that. And guess what? I find out about the whole thing when there is a problem and they come to me for a divorce. And I said, Habibi, I know this about this guy from day one. If you would have come and asked, I'll save you the money for the party and the emotional attachment and the crush and the whole entire drama. If you would have asked me about this sister or this man or this family, I would have shared with you some information. I'm not going to make the decision for you, but I will make you well-informed. So one thing I want you to know, you know, especially before marriage, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, alhamdulillah, we have multiple even imams, alhamdulillah, here in our community, can give you a very good view or a good perspective about people. I don't know if you don't know, we don't know the person. But make sure that you consult, you ask. مَا خَابَ مَنْ اسْتَشَارَ. You will never regret as long as you consult people. وَلَا نَدِمَ مَنْ اسْتَخَارَ. And you will not also regret or you will not, if you make istikhara to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the istishara consulting is an important one. Thank you.
So another point I have that's very important also. So someone commented, and they saw the poster, and they saw three handsome men on the poster. They said, this is going to be just male-sided. We should have thrown in a woman so she can give a woman's perspective and what the woman learns. So first of all, inshallah, it's going to be things for both male and female. But if it's going to be male-sided or lessons for men, good. Because and feel free if the other panelists disagree here, but the majority of the problem in marriages, it's men. It's men. And I don't care what anybody says, except for Sheikh Waleed. It's men, okay? Yes, sometimes the guy has a crazy wife, she's an entire maniac, but that's very rare. It's always the man. I don't care what anyone says, I'll say it clear. Let me explain why, okay? Because a long time ago, we had a center. I was threatened to say this, by the way. Call 911. We had a center in Virginia, and Sheikh Muhammad Sharif, in his early days, he came and he gave a lecture. It was called how to be a good husband. And then we mass-produced it, and we used to sell it at Isna and Ikna and all that. Then years later, he did another one called How to Be a Good Wife. And then many years later, he was talking to us, and he said, look, you know, we had all these lectures about how to be. He said, I figured out the problem with marriages is the men are just not real men. That's it. That's it. Because let me tell you something. Let's say you have a crazy wife or bad wife or whatever, and you treat her with patience and you treat her like a noble man, she will change. She's not Iblis's sister. She will change. But the problem is, I only have patience. Okay, I'm going to be nice to my wife. Half a day, then at night, I go back to my ways. Khalas. But if I could be a real man and treat her that way, do you think she's going to keep meeting me with bad manners and disrespect? She will change. But the majority of the problem is men. So I think it's good that we're, even if it is heavy on the men's perspective, good, that's the problem. And of course, if you want to disagree, I just so you know something about me, I'm very okay with people being wrong, so feel free to disagree. I'm kidding. Faddal.
So I'm very excited to be discussing this topic with my father-in-law. That isn't going to be awkward at all. So,
free family.
Yeah. So this is going to be super awkward. But alhamdulillah. So I'm ready to begin, inshallah.
Great relationships don't just happen; they are created. That's one of the most important rules of marriage. And I want everybody to understand, if you're already married, or you're about to marry, this is what it is. Just doesn't happen just either. We have a great marriage. You have to create that great marriage. Have to work on it. It's not gonna happen by itself. So you have to make sure that you work, you have to earn that good marriage.
I'm not going to stay silent for most of this, huh?
No. I'm just going to vibe off of you both, inshallah.
All right. Okay, so basically, one of the things that you find... Okay, so people get to know each other before marriage, all right? And then by the time it gets close to the marriage, the time of the wedding itself, by that point, you know, you've interacted a lot with the parents more, with her more, you know, and some things show up, and in the stress of marriage, you start to see some of the real personality. A lot of times, I'll meet people who said, right before we got married, I noticed and I realized it is 100% not going to work. I saw that we were completely different. I knew it wasn't going to work, but at that point... We had made preparations. Her parents came from overseas. Mash'arif, my parents got to know them, and everyone was congratulating. Everybody knew about it. And we even ordered the food and got the banquet hall ready. I knew it wasn't going to last, but it was just too late to back out. It's not too late to back out. I mean, that's what I say. And even the day of, okay? She's putting the makeup on. I'm like, I don't think this will work out, okay? I'm going to have dinner with my friends. If you need to pull out, pull out. Don't ruin your life and put yourself in an embarrassing predicament just because, oh, what are they going to say after we rented the banquet hall? Khalas, get your deposit back. But no, don't go through with it. A lot of people say, I knew it wasn't working, I just went through with it. That's first piece of advice.
I would say, on the topic of the engagement as well, is to take red signs seriously and to bounce ideas off of people around you, because the idea of love being blind is very true. I had one friend of mine who was telling me about his engagement process, and he mentioned amongst the engagement process that his fiance was kind of used foul language and curses him out when she gets mad and things like that. And I was like, what do you mean she curses you out? And he's like, no, she like curses me out. Like she just, you know, throws the whole book at me. And I was like, and we don't talk like that. He doesn't talk like that. Like, his circle doesn't talk like that, but he's like, when she gets mad, she just curses me out. She hits me with every four-letter word. I was like, this is the engagement period. This is the time when the masks are on and she's being as nice as she can be.
She show you the best.
Yeah, this is when everybody's lying
after
to each other and showing
the
best.
You see the rest, you know?
Exactly. So I was like, if this is what you're getting now, this is like a red neon sign. No, 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 no. He was like, really? You think so? I was like, yes, I think so. So alhamdulillah, he didn't end up going through with that for a number of other reasons. But it, like taking consultation with people is important.
One of the biggest problems that I have seen in my life as well with people, a trick I didn't know, how it became so popular. Oh, he will change. She will change. That's what make a lot of people go through this. Or to stay even in marriage, which is completely failure, completely miserable. They just think he miraculously will change. Let me tell you, I've been doing this for a period of time more than many of you, for so many years. Okay, let's just put it this way. I haven't seen people changing in marriage. I see people adjust, but change, people don't change. And for bad news, especially when it comes to character. The only time I see change happen, I'm talking about character, not a bad habit. People can disagree. Talk about character trait. People adjust, but change happen only in the case of somebody seriously taking this as in his issue, have absolute determination and will, and making effort and making dua, and taking it so serious to change himself or herself. And the people who do that commitment, not many. But that's why النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال استمتعت بها على عوج. If you don't like something in your wife and you hate it, you have to learn how to accept people as they are. But this has a limit too. When النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said you accept her, obviously that's applied to men as well. You accept him because there's no perfect man, there's no perfect woman. But please don't let parents, don't tell yourself, oh, inshallah, she will be like perfect hijab. No, she doesn't wear hijab now. She might decide to wear hijab, but don't expect just that, touch gonna change. If hijab is not something of value to her right now, it's not just gonna change for you. If your husband is not somebody who likes knowledge and stuff, it's not gonna change. That's who you are. So be careful with this trick from
the shaitan. Also about the acceptance of people with their deficiencies, to think of people with their best of qualities. A hadith I love very much with regards to this issue of marital relations is لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنة, that a believing man never hates a believing woman. If he dislikes one quality in her, he is pleased with another. And so choosing every day to see the positive in your spouse, choosing every day to not pay attention to or overlook the negative, to not focus on that, but to rather make your focus that which is positive and that which is desirable and that which is lovable, that will make you, inshallah ta'ala, love that person even more, as opposed to deciding to focus on that which is deficient or that which is incomplete or that which is negative.
Some statistics I love very much because they really support the Islamic process of getting marriage. They say studies or research shows that marriages where the couples fell in love before getting married have a higher divorce rate. And psychologists explain that what Sheikh Ammar said earlier, when people are in love, they don't get to see the flaws. And, everything is great about the other person. Even if they see a flaw, they might bury it deep or question themselves that they actually saw something. So, and that's why when people are not in love, if you can help that, then you're more objective. The other statistic is that also, statistically, marriages where your friend's wife hooked you up with one of her friends like that have a higher success rate than one where you go out and find your own spouse. So, what's interesting is like the way Islam designed the process is, from the non-Muslim studies prove that this is the best way to get married. And on that point, we were having a da'wah discussion with this atheist. He was a young guy, like 18, 19. And he was saying, I don't believe in God. One of his reasons, he said, if there is a God, he wouldn't put together an institute like marriage, where it ends up 50% of marriages end up in divorce, and if there's a God, he wouldn't put together a system like this that's such a failure.
How are you patient with such idiocy? It's like this institution's existed since the dawn of humanity.
Yes, I mean, recent statistics now the divorce rate is high, but before that it wasn't the case. Now, but at the same time, so then obviously if you don't believe in marriage, you believe in dating and cohabiting without marriage. And then what's the breakup rate? What's the breakup rate for
it's
dating?
Even higher. It's even higher.
10 times higher. How many boyfriends, girlfriends people have per year and they break up because it didn't work? Anyways.
Are you promoting like arranged marriage?
No. I mean, I don't know what I'm promoting. Whatever works, man. However you find, find, yachi.
What do you think of arranged marriage?
Huh? I prefer early marriage.
No, yani, arranged.
Arranged, yeah.
Marriage. Has nothing to do with age.
Yeah, it's fine. What's the problem, yani? Like, I know always, you guys have arranged marriages. Like, what does that mean? What do you mean by arranged? Do you mean that I'm forced to marry somebody like that? Then no. If you have a chance to get to know the person, then I don't care who introduces that person, as long as you have a choice.
A lot of you get scared from this word, arranged marriage, as if something like bad, arranged marriage. Oh my God, arranged marriage. You know, I want to tell you, for me, arranged marriage is like exactly, let's say my dad give me, hey, there is this girl I'm suggesting for marriage. It doesn't mean I X that proposal. You know, I look at it, it's like any other methods of looking. Forced marriage is haram, don't work. But arranged marriage in a sense that, you know what, I can see like, okay, my mother suggested this woman, I will look into it. If that person's, it doesn't mean I have to, you know, there is this, I don't know where this idea came from. When I give khutbah today in Jumu'ah, I kind of touch upon that. That this idea, whatever my mother said, my father said, it's not me. It's old school. It doesn't fit me. It doesn't, you know, خلاص, you rejected the money. No, yeah. Open your mind and look into these possibilities. Parents, make sure it's an opinion. It's not fact. It's not order. It's not like, if you don't take my choice, you do عقوق الوالدين, haram, you're going to hellfire. No, you don't use this kind of language in your children too. Very good.
Because that's very dangerous and it's very repellent. Because kids are coming up in a completely different culture, or people are coming up in a completely different culture. Even if people are within the same city 30 years later, the culture is completely different. And so the idea of imposing on your children that if you don't follow me, then you will enter into the hellfire or what have you, it becomes something that actually distances that person from the concept of the hellfire even. It can even distance them from the concept of the religion. But one thing that I would like to point out, even as I posted about this today, and people were listing their ideas and their own suggestions.
Cheating.
But one of the things was the idea of, some young person posted, and I've seen this a lot with young people, the idea of, I don't want to get married, I'm never going to get married. I think one important point to notice is that you will be inconvenienced. Marriage is going to be filled with inconvenience. But any relationship worth having is going to be filled with inconvenience. That sacrifices the price that you pay for closeness, that sacrifices the price that you pay for depth. And being that we are all conditioned in modernity, all of us now are conditioned to maximize our convenience in everything that we do, in every relationship that we have, in every literal action that we do is designed to maximize our intentional convenience. You can see the cost of that convenience. And the cost of that convenience is superficial relationships. It's easier to just share or to like or to meet a person at a random place as opposed to inviting them into your home. Like, all of these things are at a cost of depth. And so when you get married, recognize that, you know what, there's going to be a lot of things that I would rather not do, but in the long term, that is inshallah ta'ala going to create for me a relationship that's meaningful.
Yeah, I want to say to those who give the and have this idea, I'm not going to get married. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, لو لم يبقى لي في الدنيا إلا ليلة. If I only have one night left, one day left in this life, I will not die single.
Allahu Akbar.
I will not die single. I will not meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a single man. I want to meet him as someone who is married.
Because
why? Because Ibn Mas'ud understood the Prophet ﷺ said, when you marry a good, righteous spouse, you complete half of your religion. Half of your deen is completed. And that's why Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu arda, when he heard that some people said, we don't want to get married, he said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, atqa hadhi al-ummah, the most righteous, and aktharuhum nisa'a. And he's the one who married sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most. That's why when a man said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't want to marry, I want to stay. You know what? He wants to stay single, not to have freedom. No, stay single so have the freedom for worshiping Allah. That's it, to be a devoted worshiper. The Prophet ﷺ said, no. مَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. If you stay away from my sunnah, my way, you not belong to me. So that idea that I'm not going to get married, I don't want to get married, I'm going to stay single, is completely not acceptable Islamically. Especially in a time of fitna, in a time of you know, the sexual desires and things sexualized in society. And not only that, materialistic also. That marriage is not just about sexual desire. Part of it is absolutely important, part of it is to protect him and her from falling into the haram. But also it's the companionship. Adam alayhi salam in Jannah, can you imagine you are in Jannah, what's missing? Adam in Jannah, can you imagine Jannah that Allah promised you? And yet he was sad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created from him Eve, or created Eve, so she can give him a companionship. And he will be in her company. And that's where completed his happiness. And we're not animals. Some animals are the one who just meet, you know, with other animals for pre-productions, and that's it. And they live by themselves. We are human beings. We're meant to be family. So that idea, those who keep saying, I'm not going to marry, you see in society. You know why? Because they fulfill the desire in haram. And so Umar radiallahu anhu said, if a young man tell me I'm single, I'm not married, he's one of two. Imma fajr wa imma. Yeah, and he is either fajr, doing bad things, or somebody who is, have a disease that it makes him have no desire, or can't, have a sexual desire. That Umar radiallahu anhu said, that's one of two. That's the norm. That's why it is completely un-Islamic, that concept of, I'm not going to get married, I'm not going to get married.
Sheikh, before we proceed, can you explain what it means when you get married, you complete half your deen?
I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm just kidding. To complete half of your deen, because basically your spouse help you to protect sexual desire is a very strong desire in human beings. It's part of who we are. And if this can get in control, you can control so many other desires as well. It makes you so much in control of yourself and decision, not to be deceived or seduced. Also at the same time, your spouse, but that's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a righteous woman. A righteous woman will help you, so, and a righteous man as well, will help you not only to protect yourself from haram, but also help you to do what is right. Inspire you to do what's correct. You know, when you look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when they leave the house, their wife will tell them, hey, we can't be patient with hunger. We can deal with poverty, but we cannot deal with hellfire. Don't go earn from haram because of us. You know, when you have a wife telling you that, when you have a husband telling you, let's share the night, let's pray together, let's fast, let's do this, inspire you, be with you, learning together. That's just different to a different level. The amount of stability and strength, when you strengthen that relationship, it helps you to complete your many of your deen. Yeah.
So I have some advice for the guys also on the idea of expectations. And it's got a story to it. Before I had gotten married, I used to get quizzed by my shuyukh and, you know, like they do about getting married and things like that. And one time, one of my mashayikh, I had went and I had sat with him in his hotel. And he was sitting there and he was quizzing me about what's going on and stuff like that. And so I don't know what inspired him to say this, but he said to me, listen, I just want you to know, especially for the guys, he said, I just want you to know that no matter who you marry, he said, no matter who you marry, you will walk out and you will see somebody prettier. Because guys have this idea of, I just need to marry the prettiest woman in the world ever, because that's what's going to, there's so much fitna out, I need to make sure that I marry somebody who's like a 10, 10, 10. He said, you will find somebody prettier. And he said to me, he said, even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not immune from the beauty of a woman catching her eye. And he quoted the verse in Surah Al-Ahzab where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after an incident not being able to, you know, the divorcing of wives and what have you. And he says that you don't replace the wives who chose you, وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ حُسْنُهُنْ, with another wife, even if their beauty might please you. And so Rasulullah, even though he's married to the likes of Safiya and Aisha radiallahu anha, he's not immune from the beauty of another woman catching his eye. And so there is no one woman that you will marry that will force you to lower your gaze. You have to lower your gaze. You have to choose to be satisfied. You have to have taqwa. And it's the same thing goes for women as well, in the sense that you're not going to marry some guy who will, you know, if your eyes is always unleashed on Instagram and what have you, then you're also going to suffer for that. So make sure that you are content with who you choose. That will be better for you than necessarily the features.
I always used to say in class that, you know, the guy is looking at images all day. Billboard signs, commercials on YouTube, he sees the images of women who are, and it's not fair to compare, you know, your wife to those, because they're airbrushed, they're photoshopped, heavy makeup. I'm sure all of you have seen those videos where they start to remove the makeup and you see a ghoul, you know. The point is that then he comes home to his wife, who is a good, okay looking person, but he's comparing her to all those images that he saw. It's like, why can't she look like the billboard? Type, your gut is up to here, why don't you look like the billboard? Yeah, and you just want her to look like that. And he just looks. Anyways, I just wanted to share.
And even the billboard is like, she took that pose like 1,000 times or 900 times for her to actually get that one shot.
Yeah. And they altered it and doctored it. We had, in Virginia, one of our brothers, he got married. And he was like the kind that always makes fun of people and does voices and imitates and makes fun of you in front of people. So when he got married, this was our day of revenge with him. So we played a fun game. It's called Ask the Groom. People from the audience, I was the MC, people from the audience would ask questions, and we purposely made them very embarrassing. Like the girl's father is sitting there, and questions would be like, did you fall in love, you know, before before the engagement, during the engagement? It was really embarrassing. And then one question came that I really loved. It's the question Sheikh Waleed answered. The question was, now that you have completed half your deen, what are you going to do about the other half? Anyways, everybody knows the hadith, but Sheikh Waleed, just explain what that means, complete half your deen.
I have a couple of nice stories about some of the stuff that's been said, but I want to move to another end point. Just before another point, make sure that it doesn't mean that you don't take care of your look. Sisters, brother, and also sisters in the beginning of the marriage, they care so much about how they look, how they dress, how they, their weight, their this, their this. After marriage and after a kid, I know it's hard and stop getting busy, stuff like that. Some kind, you know, it became dropped not as priority, but that's not correct. You know, I get a lot of complaint from husbands telling me, Sheikh, my wife, she doesn't dress up, she doesn't. You know, I deal with a lot of fitna every day outside. Yes, I tell them, don't worry, sisters, I tell them, she deals with fitna outside as well. But you know what? there is a big difference between men and women in this area. Men and women are not equal in this area. Men are physically and visually stimulated. Women are emotionally stimulated. Women, when they see a guy, that the norm or the vast majority of women, she's not reacting the same thing when a guy sees a beautiful woman. Women get attract a lot when it's emotionally stimulated. That's why if you want to get the best out of your wife, you're not gonna just, you know, dress up and look at her. No, be nice, be courteous, say loving things to her, and you'll see how that will affect the relationship. So there is a difference between men and women, and doesn't mean that look is not important to her. It is important. But I'm saying this is also something we should care for, and men as well. After a while, after they get married, they became so relaxed. Khalas is the same, boxer, whatever, you know, the same, like, tank, like, old, have holes in it. Dress nice. I also, it's nice, when you go to eat dinner with your wife at home, dress nice. Even, like, surprise her. And the same thing, and remember what Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu used to say, used to do. He used to put perfume, fix his hair, you know. He looked nice before he walked into the house. It's a shame that you dress nice and you smell nice and you look nice for people who are far away from you, not related to you, outside, but you don't do that for your own family. You know, the look is important, and don't ever overlook that.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to stand outside of his house before entering, and he used to use the being very cognizant. I think when two families join together, when two spouses come together, you're coming with a lot of different levels of comfort around a lot of different things. And so I think one of the things, like Sheikh Udi just mentioned, is to be very careful as to what your spouse finds attractive, and doing more than that, and being also aware of what they find unattractive. And it could be a wide variety of things. It could be, it might come from their cultural sensitivities, it could come from their family sensitivities. And it's not a matter of just dismissing it because, oh, that's silly or what have you. But if they tell you, or they communicate that something to them is unappealing about you.
Think of something important, it is important, period. If your spouse thinks this is important, it means it is important. It doesn't matter what you say about it. But if your spouse thinks it is important, it means it's important.
I want to share something I learned from Sheikh Yasser Birjas, Jazallah Khair, and I found it really beneficial because I used to think the same exact way. So he said that many people, you know, they get married and their focus is on one another. And then the plan, the unspoken plan is the minute you have children, the focus shifts. And now both of us are focused, swimming, ma'arif ish, and that's your job, khalas. Your focus now is on the children, and you start to neglect one another. But he said something, and it struck me really nicely. He said, no, even after you have children, your focus is still on one another. And yeah, and I'm not going to ask for show of hands, but really, how many marriages have the same thing, where once the kids are here, khalas, all she does in the ship, we're just managing these children, right? The thing is that this is where it starts to go bad, right? And the woman wants a certain amount of attention, the man wants a certain amount of attention, but all the focus now is on the children. So I know it's like funny, or you think I'm being funny, but how many times people come, you know, and not just here, I'm talking about everywhere, Yani, and they'll say, you know, my husband is talking, my husband is this, my husband is that. Yeah, like, we had an imam, women used to hate him. They used to hate him, but he was very direct. Anytime a woman comes and says, my husband, this, he would ask her a very intimate question, you know, and he's Syrian, so he would stretch it out. That's part of that neglect. He's going to start going elsewhere.
Okay. Speaking of children, they say it's important for you to after she delivered the baby, while she's breastfeeding, is to take her out, invest money in hiring babysitter and getting babysitter and people to take care of children while you spend some time with your wife out. And that led me to another rule, okay? Vacations and relationships are not luxurious. They are vacations are necessity. We go out not to skip life. No, we go out so life will not escape us. We go out together so pretty much a lot, you know. And so believe me, all it takes, you just go to one of these, you know, apps now. There are so many cheap beach house in Galveston, or even sometimes downtown Houston, you know, on the top, like in a random days, you can find very good deal. Just one night. You know, just go out, have a dinner, have a, you know, one day out, you know, private reside. You will find plenty of options. And so that doesn't cost $100, $150, $200 max, just renting the whole thing. You know what? It's worth to invest in you. What's the point for money if you don't? That's when life escapes. So you go outside for vacation, so life will not escape.
There's this joke about this woman. She asked her husband, she said, you know, when we were engaged, you used to bring me those delicious chocolates. What happened to them? The mentality, you know?
You went from chocolate to worms. So before marriage, also, this is a superpower. So if you've never heard this before, congratulations. If you practice it, the idea of love languages is that people speak or communicate love in different ways, and everybody does. And the love languages are five. They're giving gifts, they're words of affirmation, they are physical touch, they're acts of service, and they're quality time. So these love, they're people who communicate in your love language a lot. And so acts of service will be somebody, you go to your mom, your love language is physical touch. And so you're always trying to give your mom a hug. And you're like, mom, I love you. And she's like, if you loved me, you would take out the trash. Right, so what she's communicating is that her, and you take out the trash, for example, or you just go and you vacuum the living room, and you might find your mom coming up to you and doing what? Giving you a hug, right? Because now you've communicated in her language. A lot of people, unfortunately, they only try to communicate in their language, most insignificant gift, and you might not like gifts, but when you go and bring them a gift, it might be the world to them. Or the fact that you're sitting down, because their gift is quality time, and you're just undivided attention, no phone, and you're having a conversation with them in a car. That ships or your spouse, but if you learn this, you'll be able to implement it even in your family or other people as well.
Five languages of love, right?
Yeah, by Gary.
Which is your favorite?
Silence.
This is a very important point, in my opinion. For the men and women are not the same, period. And women think of us the same way. We're a different species, you know? We're different. We are goal-oriented. Male are goal-oriented. All, what is it? No, it's not done. Who told you it's done? She's still talking about it. I told you, it's not gonna happen. I'm gonna return it back. No. Okay, the thing will be returned to the place. But for her, women or not, there's always more salesmen than saleswomen. You know? So it is wise. You have to fulfill her need. And you don't be angry at him because this is how he think. It needs.
When she's telling a story, and as a man, you're thinking, get to the point of the story.
Exactly.
The story is the point.
Which she feels is the point. It just not. The goal. You see, you go to the, you know, I know what I want. I want to go buy it, get out. 10 minutes. When I take them with me. But I learn how to accommodate that. I give them the enjoy. And so good, Baba, where we all together looking for them. There's a difference. And you have to understand language. You know, there's a difference. Emotions. Women are very figured out. We're not necessarily, that's why one of the rules I will let her out, why she didn't figure out what I want. What? Tell him what you're feeling. Don't make this guessing game. It's not good, it's not help. You can do it through different means, through body language, sign language, there's things, but the point is.
They call it rapport versus report. You know, men want to report, they give the bottom line, they establish rapport in that sense. One of my friends said his wife would tell him so many details, like she would say, she wants,
Then she would get very upset with him for, let me tell, my field of study was communication. So we studied the differences between how men and each other. Interruptions are not as severe. They can interrupt each other and it's not a big deal to them. For men, she said, my fiance would interrupt me so much. I would get so angry, I would tell her, interrupt me one more time. I swear to God. But I want to ask the audience, who speaks more, men or women? It's equal. You know, there was a study that the study found that men speak about 12,500 words per day, and women speak about 24,500 words per day. I started searching for this study and discovered there's no such thing. Everyone's been quoting it. Even Arab students indicated that men and women speak roughly exactly the same number of words. So what's the issue? Why do we, again, bad husband? Always reference the hadith in Sahih Bukhari of, it's a long hadith, this long story to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but he's listening. That's the amazing part in the hadith. At the end, he comments to her like, I am to you. A lot of us, when our wives talk to us, we zone out. But to look at, make it look like we're listening, we give her a different variety of, What they don't know is that all men have an automated device in say, he rewinds, you said that Aisha shouldn't have made her fun of her hijab. Yes, and like I was saying, and she
that hadith of bits. And you're thinking to yourself, this is a man who's got da'wah to the world on his shoulders, and he's listening to that. But one thing to learn also, and when he says to her that I am to you like Abu Zar was to him, but one thing that you won't learn from the hadith is how frequently you'll need to go back to these types of conversations. And that depends.
You can fall in love with the same person many times. Love is not this. First of all, there is a lot of it. I'll tell you, if you have a car, run out of gas, what do you do with this car? You refuel it. If you're alone, you know, I was pleasantly surprised. The question is, if you go back in time, would you choose your spouse? Marry your spouse? That's an interesting question. I was pleasantly surprised that the overwhelming majority, I tell you, I will absolutely do. You know, it just learn how to maintain a strong, healthy relationship.
Sheikh, did they answer that survey alone?
It came to me and a sister in the old Musalla, so we stayed outside to talk to me about their marriage. She's a sister from, you know, I loved her, and we've been married for a year, and we've been doing this, and a little, oh, mashallah, he speaks so strong, so fast. And I was like, okay. Then, okay, sister. Then she said, say thank you for seeing us.
What's her now?
I said, you didn't need to tell me that you, I got it, take a look at it. I got it. In front of the guy or the girl. But you can see how different they are. I said to her, you must. Yes. Okay. she must have like been talking to each other. You know, it just, there's so much gap. And that leads me. And compatibility in deen and khuluq. What's khuluq mean? Character traits. You know, style. I know woman is unbelievable. She's a mechanic, she's an electrician, she's a plumber, she is a camp leader, she's a teacher, great mother with five kids, full of energy, to stay on the couch and watch TV. This woman, all her life, outdoor. Outside a camp in our backyard. How do you know, Sheikh? I said, I'm just joking. But that's sometimes. A sheikh can say that. Even in religion. When she is super duper religious, I don't, maybe a little bit higher than you, but big difference, I think compatibility. Is that right?
Yeah.
So, but also, and that's Egyptian. And your daughter, she's not Egyptian anymore. She's not going to match someone. You're not going to, you look for some compatibility, even education, age wise. You know, fun as much as you can. You know, interest. I just imagine if Sheikh Kamal, you know, his wife, she cares about da'wah like him or more. compatibility. Somebody care for you. You know, that's so important to take that, you know, compatible. And please, I found it in physical. And I found it very common. MashaAllah. He is, you know, that's up to you. I don't care. Black and white, that's fine. They actually clash. Don't just wait for the year or month and you will see how this will result of a big clash later.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala salah.
So one that I'll share is, I think, really important, and that is the idea of each individual having their own privacy. Not just my closet, but the stuff in my closet I want to share everything with. I want to share all of my secrets with. Personal, because, number one, you don't know how that will affect that person's viewpoint of you. Or when it ends in divorce, that those secrets can become used, they can become weaponized. And so you're looking and digging into their private space. There's a quote, people, I've said to whom, okada, you see to whom, that he might corrupt them or that he might, and this is, might corrupt them. They will corrupt them or they might corrupt them. And I guess an example that I can give on that is if you end up, but say you have a 15-year-old daughter and she's got a journal, and in her journal, she writes, you know, her crush's name. And it's something very innocent at that stage, and she's just writing a person's heart, and then the parents see it and they completely overreact, and you know, they went into her journal, they read it, and now, you know, she's got a girlfriend, she's got a boyfriend, and she's, you know, halfway on her road to teen pregnancy according to the parents, and then it extends to the extended family, and everybody's looking at her like she's some sort of villain, right? And that she's some sort of this and some sort of that. She could be corrupted by the fact that they investigated into her journal, right? Because now she's being viewed as this person, and what is people's natural response when they're being viewed as this person that they're not? What is it? If I'm bad, I might as well do it, right? If I'm doing the time anyway, I might as well do the crime, right? And so that in and of itself might have corrupted them more than if they had simply wrote out whatever it was and they grew out of it as they naturally would have grown out of it.
The Sheikh said he gave a lecture. This is on spying, right? He said he gave a lecture, he called it My Mother. So when they came back, he came home after Isha, his friend who was at the lecture sent him. He said, "Ya Sheikh, how about next time we do my father?" So the Sheikh texted him back, "What do you think of my sister?" That was the text message. "What do you think of my sister?" He didn't put quotation marks. His wife saw it. Khalas, you know the rest of the story, right? The Sheikh is offering his sister to the guy. He's like, if you weren't spying, you wouldn't be in this predicament. Sheikhna, one advice I heard from this sheikh one time, I loved it a lot because I saw myself on the receiving end of this and I was like, this would be perfect for me. He was speaking to the sisters. He said, the best advice I can give you, he said, speak to your husband like he's 5 years old. And until today, I believe it's the best advice I've ever heard. I'm not kidding. He said, because men have this thing, right? Respect, pride, ego, have to be the man of the house, the king. Okay, make him feel that way. Just, you win. So he said, whatever he says, just like a five-year-old. Like, why do we have to do this from now on? Like, okay, Habib, whatever you want, inshallah, from now on, we're going to make sure this happens. He's going to immediately nafis, you know, deflate. And he's next time he puffs his, whatever you want, Habib, we will make sure that happens. Just be happy, don't get upset, I don't want you to lose your... He said, just do that. Do that and you will rule the house. But the thing is, we don't have the patience. You know, she'll do, Habibi, okay, and then she's like, Habibi. And after 2 hours, asma hina, I put up with your nonsense enough, and ma'arif it. All right, I wanna give a tip. Maybe to make life easier. This is a psychological strategy. All right? My wife heard this before. We were doing this on a Facebook class, and then we started cracking up at this. So she already knows the technique, so I can't use it on her anymore. So I'm sharing it with my brothers here. All right. If your wife says, "Which abaya should I wear, the blue one or the green one?" Immediately and without any thinking, just pick either one. It doesn't matter. Okay. Because what you're trying to do, you're trying to find out which one she really wants to put on, okay? Say the blue one. The minute she starts making arguments for the green one, deep down she wanted you to say the green one. If you say the blue one, she's like, okay, that means she deep down wanted the blue one. But if you say the blue one, she says, are you sure? Because the green one matches my shoes better and it also matches this hijab and the purse I have today. So just immediately switch and say, oh, you know what? No, I see that. No, you're right 100%. The green one is the better one. Switch to the green one immediately. That's the best one. You're right. I see it now. And that's that's how you do it. You find out which one she really... Thank me for that later, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair.
Okay. One other thing that I found very important for us to learn as we are getting married or about married, guilt tripping would not get you what you really want. Making people feel bad about themselves is not going to fix your spouse. Believe me, you will get much, much better out of the person without using this method. You know what? The kids were waiting for you the whole entire, for 2 hours. They were so hungry.
Today?
Yeah, legit, you didn't show up for dinner. We've been waiting for you. The kids went to sleep hungry because said, we're not going to eat until Baba comes. And Baba didn't come because whatever you've been doing. What is she making you feel? Guilty. You know, the kids or this, you know what, I spend the night, you make him feel guilty. Guilt tripping is not going to, don't think when you do that, next time he's going to come in time and we'll be there for the dinner. No. Even if he comes next time, he will come angry and she will be angry. It's not going to fix it. Don't use guilt tripping. It doesn't work. It may be you're frustrated and release your frustration, but it doesn't work. What works actually a positive message. Say, oh, he didn't come today. No problem. You know, but just remember. You remember that day when we had dinner together? The kids were telling me they loved it. You know, when you took them out, they were so happy. You know, that feeling being close to you, that means a lot to them. You know, Habibi, when you did this to me that day, it meant so much to me. Give that positive. Don't use guilt. Making people feel bad, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It frustrates you, but it doesn't really help you to change.
In management, they call that feedback versus feed forward. So back is you're looking back and you're criticizing or what have you, or as opposed to feed forward, you're basically looking into the future and you're showcasing what could be better. And that example Sheikh Wadi just gave, I think of like how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ni'mal 'abd Abdullah ibn Umar law kana yaqumu al-layl." Abdullah ibn Umar is such an excellent servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If only he would pray the night. Like this one addition, instead of saying he doesn't pray the night, right? And just focusing on that. What an excellent individual this person is if he only prayed the night. So of course he's going to add that to his repertoire now.
And he did until the age of 104, and he was blind at 100 and still continued doing it.
How could he not with such praise from the Prophet ﷺ?
We're going to have Robert's points.
Okay, find out the in-law situation. Okay, are you going to live, is he going to live with his parents or not? They will get into your business. It's just inevitable whether they're good people or not. So figure out that situation first. And the other point someone mentioned, also figure out the step relationship. I took a counseling course and the counselor said something interesting. He said, animals in the wild, all kinds of animals, never kill babies, never kill the baby children, yani. Except in step relationships. And step relationships can be very difficult on people. And I still don't know why. I don't know if anyone's figured it out. But step relationships are very hard on people. You marry someone, he has children, or you marry a woman, she has children. You better figure things out before you step into that. In-laws, you figure that out before you step into it. And Sheikh Waleed, I have to plug a lecture of yours. It's excellent. In-laws or outlaws. Excellent lecture by Sheikh Waleed. I one time I stole it and I gave it in Turkey. People were blown away, and deep down I was like, Sheikh Waleed, that's all.
Okay. It's not what you got, it's what you do with it. This is a rule of marriage. You might be Allah gave you a very sweet tongue, it doesn't matter. Money, it doesn't matter. You know, a good, you're a grateful person. What do you do with that? How you communicate that? How you talk, so make sure that you use these talents. You know, gratitude is just not feeling. It is an action. Love is not feeling. It's an action. It's what you do with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you.
It takes time for people to grow, even into not what you just want, but what they want. And so, just like, for example, a person might be complaining, your spouse might be complaining about a goal that they have, and you think that, okay, just do this. Not realizing that that might be a 2-year process for them, or a 3-year process for them, or a 5-year process for them. And so giving people the opportunity and the space to grow is very important.
Pay now or pay later with interest and penalties. Another rule of marriage. Pay now or pay later with interest and penalties. This is something I used to fail in at miserably. And I have to say, admit it. Waleed, are we going this weekend? You know, to Galveston with the kids? Inshallah. That's Monday. Okay, and I just got a text message that I have recording on the weekend. But now I don't want to deal with this headache of, you know, we're not going to go, you know. So inshallah, hopefully inshallah. I want to push it later. You know, it's the rule is pay now. Deal with it now. You know what? No, I don't think we're going to go this weekend. Why? Whatever reason, back and forth, 10 minutes, you know, may upset a little bit. Deal with it. But if you decide to pay later, it's going to be with penalties and interest. Because when weekend comes and everybody excited, I'm sorry, I'm not going. What? We're all ready. We cancel our this. Now is not going to be just you're not going and you misled us and you deceived us and you lied to us and you know, it became way, way more bigger problem than what it was before. So make sure you pay with it right now instead of accumulating interest just because you want to push it for a week or like 3 days later on.
That's excellent. Brilliant. I love that. I'll start paying now.
Okay. This is also, there is a difference between sex and intimacy. There's a big difference between the two. But we'll have a special Friday night lights.
It will be one light. Just be you. I'm out.
I want to say one thing is about secrets.
Yeah.
Privacy wouldn't hurt your marriage, but secrecy will. I always tell my kids and my family, there's no secrets between us. There is privacy. What's the difference? I don't look at my daughter's phone. I don't just go look, you know, and basically, I respect their privacy. My wife, my husband, I respect my husband's privacy. But if I want to use the phone, and I take the phone, and all of a sudden she grabbed the phone from me. No, no, don't look at my phone. No, no, don't open my purse. No, 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 don't look at, you know, that means there is a secret between us. That's not healthy. There's a difference between the two. I respect your privacy, but you know what? I'm just going to make a phone call. But all of a sudden, you reacted so strongly to Guinness, that means there is something secret here. That hurts marriage. And I just want to say also just a cap on secrets of the past. I 100% agree with Sheikh Ahmad. And at most of the cases I've seen, your past secrets used against you, even without divorce. It will be used against you in time of conflict. The only secret you cannot hide from your spouse about your past, if it's something will impact your marriage or your future. Yani, for example, if you have kids from other family, marriage, you can't tell them, you have to tell them that I have children and I have, you know, I married before, and that's something you don't hide, you know? I do believe, or for example, somebody has a criminal record. You know, when my wife was stopped by the cop and I just find out that my wife or my husband, like, you know, has a criminal record. No, that will affect your relationship. I mean, something serious like that. If just something easy, not a big deal, fine.
An STD. Health issue.
Yes, health issue.
Yeah.
By the way, I have, you know, that's too late. You know, you can't do that. That's something will affect marriage. Yeah.
This is a joke. All right. I'm sorry, first of all, for these topics make me, bring out the crazy. So this guy got married in secret, had a second family, kids, everything. He dies. They have the funeral. 3 days later, a woman dressed in black with some kids knocks on the door. The widow opens up. She's like, what is it? She's like, the deceased was my husband. She said, haram alek. My heart broke. Now you're going to try to break it twice. This man, I've known him for 25 years. He does nothing but go to work. He comes home and then he goes to Masjid Maryam. She said, I'm Maryam.
That's why he was always making the i'tikaf outside of Ramadan.
Absolutely. Okay, we wrap it up. Sheikh Ahmad, have something? Okay, my last point will be something I really found out that it helps a lot in relationship, which is, I just said it at Abdullah's wedding Tuesday. I said, one of the golden rules of marriage is don't ever forget that you are in the same side. The moment you see your spouse on the other side, the moment the marriage falls apart, you remember you are on the same side. The moment we stop pointing and as if you're in the cross road or anything, that's not correct. You know what? If your husband, that's where many problems can manifest it this way. But you know what? I trust my husband. We are on the same side. If you start not trusting your husband, that means you're not on the same side. You know, even if we disagree with each other, we're still on the same side. We don't let our disagreement make us, you know, cross from each other. We are on the same team. I can't say this enough for you. And always make dua that your marriage stay fresh. And, you know, work on it. Good marriage created.
You know, Sheikh Waleed, that opposite attracts line that you mentioned, I was thinking about it. Like, we grew up thinking that was like a real thing, opposites attract. And it inspired the thought that a lot of us, unfortunately, get relationship advice from a dating culture. And so we're learning about relationships from people who, when they're thinking of relationships, they're not necessarily thinking about marriage like we're thinking about. So it's really important that you actually learn about relationships from those people who have the same values as you, whether it be in the religious context, you know, from mashayikh, or whether it is from people who are specialized in teaching about marriage in particular.
Yeah, inshallah, there's a lot to be said about marriage. We just touched the surface. You know, there is so much to be said about. There is a special sign we're gonna have, a special session. We wanna do it called red sign. You know, these red signs, when you see it, you should be careful with the, if it's an engagement, if it is, you know, relationship. That's something that's very alarming. And we have a very specific discussion about red signs, inshallah ta'ala. Thank you very much for being with us tonight.